In this session, we will look at the way that tax is charged on unapproved share schemes, where the shares offered to the employee are subject to certain restrictions. Where an employee acquires shares in his employer company for an amount less than the market value of the shares at that point, there will usually be a charge to income tax under Section 62 of ITEPA 2003. There are exceptions for HMRC-approved share incentive schemes, such as share incentive plans, or for HMRC-approved share option schemes, such as SAYE schemes, company share option plans, and enterprise management incentive schemes. Under such HMRC-approved schemes, tax advantages are available to either eliminate or reduce a charge to tax when the shares are transferred to the employee. No such advantages accrue under unapproved share schemes. Under an unapproved share scheme, there will typically be a charge to income tax on the transfer of shares. This is generally calculated by taking the value of the shares at the date of acquisition and deducting any amounts paid by the employee for the shares. The result is the amount charged to tax as employment income. As we have seen previously, the amount treated as employment income above will be subject to PAYE and Class 1 National Insurance contributions if the shares are readily convertible assets. This will be the case if the shares are in a quoted company or arrangements are in place for the shares to be sold. The charge to income tax is reduced if the employer's Class 1 NIC liability is met by the employee. The above principles can also apply to a one-off issue of shares to a single employee or to a selected group of employees. There does not have to be a formal scheme in place for the rules on unapproved share schemes to apply. The charge to income tax is based on the value of the shares at the date of acquisition by the employee. Therefore, an employer can reduce the charge by putting certain arrangements in place to artificially depress the market value of the shares. These could include making the shares subject to forfeiture on the happening of certain events, or placing certain restrictions on the shares to depress their value, or making the shares convertible such that extra value can be injected into the shares at a later date, or taking certain non-commercial actions so as to inject extra value into the shares. HMRC are concerned that it is easy for employers to manipulate the value of the shares and thereby reduce the amount charged to tax. This chapter therefore looks at the anti-avoidance provisions that apply to employment-related securities, which are subject to restrictions which alter their value. Throughout this session, we are only concerned with employment-related securities. The definition of an employment-related security is very wide and will be difficult to avoid. An employment-related security is defined as a right or opportunity to acquire securities made available by the employer or by a person connected to him, unless the right is made available to an individual and it is made in the normal course of the domestic, family or personal relationships of that person. Therefore, in practice, the acquisition of shares or securities by an employee by reason of his employment will, in the vast majority of instances, be subject to the rules for employment-related securities. There could be an exception in instances where, for example, a father is managing director and controlling shareholder of a family company, and the company issues shares to his son. If the issue of shares is because of their personal relationship, as opposed to being a reward for service, the exception will apply. HMRC take a common sense view and will look at each case on its merits. Restricted securities are shares which are either subject to forfeiture on the occurrence of certain events, or which have restrictions placed upon them relating to when or to whom they may be sold. Restricted securities are commonly seen in management buyouts, where the investors are keen to control who can own shares in the company. The management team will acquire the shares on the buyout, but will have to forfeit them in certain circumstances. Most commonly, this will be if they leave the company. Where shares are awarded to employees, and those shares have restrictions placed upon them, special rules are in place to determine the tax charge, if any, on the initial acquisition of the shares, and the tax charge, if any, when the restrictions on the shares are lifted. We will look at each of these in the course of this session. We will start with shares subject to forfeiture. Shares can be awarded to employees on the condition that they will be forfeited on the happening of a certain event. Most commonly, the event causing the shares to be forfeited will be the employee leaving the company within a certain period of time after acquiring the shares. Forfeiture restrictions are therefore often placed on shares by the employer as a means of retaining the services of the employee for a specified period of time after the shares are awarded. Where shares are forfeited by an employee, the shares will either be cancelled or brought back by the company for an amount which is less than their market value. Shares subject to forfeiture will therefore have a depressed market value at the date they are initially awarded. The value of the shares awarded to the employee will therefore rise when the threat of forfeiture is lifted. As a result, a charge to tax can arise when the restriction, in this case the risk of forfeiture, no longer applies. The tax charge depends on whether there can be a forfeiture at less than market value, either where 5 years or more have elapsed from the date the shares were awarded, or before 5 years have elapsed from the date the shares are awarded. We will first look at shares subject to forfeiture 5 years or more after the date of award. Two income tax charges will arise. If the shares are subject to being forfeited at less than market value 5 years or more following the award, there is a charge to tax at the time of issue. The amount treated as employment income in this case is the value of the shares at the date of award less the amount paid by the employee for the shares. The value of the shares at the date of the award is the restricted value, i.e. the amount the shares are worth subject to the restriction placed upon them. A further charge will arise under Section 426 ITEPA 2003 when the restriction is lifted. This further charge is based on the formula in Section 428 ITEPA 2003. The formula in the legislation is complex and contains a number of steps, but in the majority of cases, this can be simplified to UMV multiplied by IUMV minus DA over IUMV, where UMV is the market value of the shares at the date the risk of forfeit is lifted, IUMV is the unrestricted value of the shares at the date of award, and DA is the amount paid by the employee for the shares plus the amount taxed as employment income when the shares were initially awarded. By way of illustration, in May 2005, Jockey Limited awarded Karen, an employee, 10,000 shares in Jockey Limited. Karen will pay 50p per share. The unrestricted value of the shares in May 2005 was £1.50. The shares are subject to being forfeited in return for 75p per share if Karen leaves Jockey Limited within 6 years of the award. 75p per share is therefore assumed to be the restricted value of the shares in May 2005. Karen remained in employment, and the forfeiture risk was duly lifted in May 2011, when the shares are worth £2.80. There is a charge on the initial award of the shares, as the shares were at risk of forfeiture more than 5 years after the award. The charge will be the value of the shares at the date of award. This is the restricted value of the shares, being 10,000 shares multiplied by 75p, giving £7,500, less the amount paid by the employee for the shares, being 10,000 multiplied by 50p, giving £5,000. This gives an amount charged as employment income of £2,500. A further charge will arise in May 2011, when the risk of forfeit is lifted. This charge is based on the formula in section 428. We take UMV multiplied by IUMV minus DA over IUMV, where UMV is the market value of the shares at the date the risk of forfeit is lifted, being £2.80. IUMV is the unrestricted value of the shares at the date of award, being £1.50. And DA is the amount paid by the employee for the shares, 50p, plus the amount taxed as employment income when the shares were initially awarded, being 25p. DA here is therefore 75p. If we plug the numbers into the formula, this will give an amount charged as employment income of £14,000. Turning now to shares subject to forfeiture within 5 years of issue. If the shares are subject to being forfeited at less than market value within 5 years of being awarded, there will be no charge to tax at the time of issue. When the restriction is lifted, i.e. at the point at which the threat of forfeiture has been removed, there is then a charge to tax calculated as before, using the formula in section 428. As a reminder, the formula is UMV multiplied by IUMV minus DA over IUMV, where UMV is the market value of the shares at the date the risk of forfeit is lifted, IUMV is the unrestricted value of the shares at the date of award, and DA is the amount paid by the employee for the shares plus the amount taxed as employment income when the shares were initially awarded. As the amount initially taxed as employment income here is zero, DA in this case will simply be the amount paid by the employee for the shares. By way of illustration, in June 2008, Chatsworth Limited awarded Frank, an employee, 6,000 shares in Chatsworth Limited. The market value of the shares in June 2008 was £2.50. Frank paid £1 per share, i.e. £6,000, for the shares. The shares are subject to being forfeited in return for £1.20 per share if Frank leaves Chatsworth Limited within 3 years of the award. Frank remained in employment, and the forfeiture risk was duly lifted in June 2011. When the shares are worth £4.75. There is no charge in respect of the initial award of the shares in 2007-08, as the shares were at risk of forfeiture within 5 years. A charge will arise in 2010-11 when the risk is lifted. The charge will be based on the formula UMV multiplied by IUMV minus DA over IUMV, where UMV is the market value of the shares at the date the risk of forfeit is lifted, being £4.75. IUMV is the unrestricted value of the shares at the date of award, being £2.50. And DA is the amount paid by the employee for the shares, being £1. The formula here gives an amount charged as employment income of £17,100. So, What happens if the employee resigns his employment and forfeits his shares? For example, assume in the previous illustration that Frank resigns within 3 years, i.e. before the risk of forfeiture is lifted. His shares are duly forfeited in return for £1.20 per share. This will also be a chargeable event, giving rise to a charge to tax. This charge will be calculated using the formula in section 428, except that the actual proceeds, in this case £1.20 per share, are substituted for UMV. Therefore, we would take the proceeds of 6,000 shares at £1.20 and multiply by the fraction, which is £2.50 minus £1 over £2.50. This gives an amount charged as employment income of £4,320. This same principle will apply whenever an employee resigns and forfeits his shares, even where the risk of forfeit lasted for more than 5 years.